In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about how God works out everything, all things, for good, for His own purposes. Remember, He's the one with the design. Julian of Norwich wrote these wonderful words, which I have framed on my guest room wall. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. I repeat that to myself when things appear not to be well. And I read yesterday a quotation from someone who said, if we cannot work out the will of God where God has placed us, why has He placed us there? This very place. Yes, even if you're a prisoner, even if you lie helpless on a striker frame, even if your income has just evaporated, even if you've been called into court by someone who is going to sue you unjustly, this is the location of God's appointed task. Our personal situation is not a hindrance to the doing of His will. When Daniel was in the lion's den, he was there by God's appointment. Oh yes, I remember, he was there because of a wicked king. He was there because of his faithfulness and obedience to God. He was there because a wicked king had required that he bow down to an image. And the first commandment is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And Daniel was a faithful man, and he knew that faithfulness was far more important than his physical life. But in the last analysis, Daniel was there by God's appointment. How would you like to have the story of Daniel without the lion's den? Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that Daniel in the lion's den is a story that has encouraged God's people for thousands of years? Who knows how many hundreds of thousands have been strengthened by Daniel's testimony? If we had the story of Daniel without the lion's den, we wouldn't have that encouragement, would we? Our personal situation is not a hindrance to the doing of His will. Daniel was doing the will of God, even though the first cause appeared to be the wickedness of a heathen king. That's where we get so hung up, you know. This person has done a terrible thing to me. What about my husband? I was telling you yesterday about several women who had shared problems in their marriage with me. And I can think of a long list of things that I would like to say to those husbands. The husbands are not coming to me for advice. It's the wives. Can we change those husbands? No, except by prayer and by those weapons that God has given us of a gentle and quiet spirit and submission. Perhaps they may be changed. But it's not our job to be the moral custodians of other people. It's our job to look to the Lord and ask Him how He wants us to behave in the given situation. So here's Daniel in the lion's den. Here's Job sitting on the ash heap, having been tormented by Satan. Satan himself was given permission over Job's life. A mystery? Yes. Do we need to understand all the ins and outs? No. Job trusted God. God is saying to us, will you love me? Will you trust me? Will you praise me? When Abraham, with a breaking heart, toiled up the mountain with the wood and his beloved son Isaac, the child of promise, in obedience to God, Abraham was about to sacrifice that son. He had him bound down on top of the wood on the altar and he had raised the knife before God stayed his hand. When Peter was in prison, when Jesus was captured, bound, blindfolded, flogged, stripped, and nailed, each was in God's appointed situation. It's the suffering of Christ himself that illumines our sufferings. Jesus is inviting us in the tenderest of tones, "Will you suffer with me? Will you accept your share, whatever it may be, however ignominious, however hidden to the world, however incomprehensible it may be to you? Will you see that it's your share? Will you understand that it is here that I want to teach you about myself? There is a coming up out of the wilderness. There is deliverance from the lion's den. Deliverance in the furnace, in the deep water. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." As one person told me they used to say in their family, it'll look better in the morning. It'll look different in the morning. Julian of Norwich's words, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well," is taking the long view, not well in our terms. But when you look back on the stories of Abraham and Daniel and Job and Jesus in the garden, we can see that those words mean exactly what they say. Think back to the things that didn't turn out as you had hoped. Huge disappointments, accidents, losses which were turned into gifts and blessings. I think of the little incident of my husband Lars. He is now my husband. When he was looking for a room, he came as a seminary student in middle age, and he had spent one or two nights in the men's dormitory at the seminary, and he said, "Well, that's about one or two nights too many for me. I'm too old for this kind of stuff. Stereos in the rooms, a guy rubbing your shoulder next to you because the showers were so close together." So he went looking for a room in a private home, and he found a very nice one, and he said, "When can I move in?" And the lady said, "Well, when would you like to move in?" And he said, "Well, today." That was Wednesday. "Oh, no," she said, "the room won't be ready until Sunday." Oh, dear. Four more nights in the men's dorm. He went back to the seminary and was met in the hall by one of the professors, who told him that there was a lady, a widow, looking for a lodger. Her name was Mrs. Leach. Well, that happened to be my name back then. I had lost my husband, Addison Leach, just the day before, and I was looking for some seminary students to live in my house. And so Lars came looking for a room at my house. If that lady had told him that the room was going to be ready that night, I would never have met Lars Grin. The Lord works out everything according to his own plans. Several days ago, I read you the story of a cyclone and a child with a hare lip and a doctor encountered on a train. Amazing connection of events engineered by the one who engineers the universe. And then there's this amazing story in Acts, the 27th chapter, of Paul's experience of a storm at sea. "When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together." That's something amazing. I couldn't even imagine that you could pass ropes underneath the ship to hold it together. But my friend Frank Murray, who is a real sailor and has been through some big storms, explained to me that that is done, and it can still be done. "Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Now, this is from the book of Acts, written by Luke, who must have been a companion on the ship. Notice that God had sent a gentle wind that convinced them that it was okay to set sail. And then what happened? The hurricane comes up, a northeaster. They're caught by the storm. They couldn't head into the wind, so they gave way and were driven along. Then they thought the whole ship was going to fall to pieces, and they passed ropes underneath it. Then they were afraid they were going to run aground on the sandbars. They took a violent battering. All of this is under whose control? The Lord of the storm. The Lord of the winds. Remember when the disciples were out fishing and the storm came up and Jesus was asleep in the boat on a pillow? And they woke him up with terror and they said, "Lord, don't you care that we're perishing?" Well, of course, they weren't perishing. They were just panicking. And he said, "Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith?" And he spoke to the wind and the calm came. The wind died down, and there was a dead calm. The winds obey the Lord of the universe. The hurricane winds obeyed him. They came at his command. And all these terrible things happened. God was still in charge. We're going to read some more of that story tomorrow.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.